Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode. What up, what up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick with my guys, Robbie, Mike, and Rohit, to talk about some collaborations in the sneaker game. First, we'll get into some rocking and copping, but how are you guys doing?
Good. Solid.
Good. I was wondering if somebody was going to do the stop, collaborate, and listen joke, so I'm glad we didn't do that. So, you know, kudos to
Oh, Vanilla Ice. No, I'm good, man. Doing
good. I mean, Vanilla Ice is probably a sneakerhead, right?
I feel like everybody is a sneakerhead. It's just what degree of sneakerhead are you?
Yeah, like, I mean, he used to wear, like, crazy shoes back in the day. He had, like, I think it was, like, the Air Force, maybe the Air Force 5 or the Solo Flight or something, and he wore one all-red pair and one all-black pair. Like, what? This predates T-Max two colors.
What sneaker did he wear during the Ninja Rap is my question.
Ooh.
I think he had sneakers on and like, we watched that movie not too long ago.
You think he was barefoot? He was riding on?
No. I think he had like loafers or something on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I need to watch that. That's one of my favorite movies.
That's classic, man.
It's been a handful of years since I watched it though. Ninja Turtles, for those listening that can't check in, can't feel the nostalgia with us right now.
Sounds like you're off of us. Sneaker history.
Yeah, exactly.
You know where you are.
All right. Who wants to start us out with some rocking and copping?
I'll go ahead and start. My rocking is also my copping. Shout out to my mom who told me to pull the trigger on it because I need to be a company man and support the company during dire times. So Air Max DNs in the black and pink purple colorway. Not the colorway I was looking for, but it's the colorway I got.
It's like the all day color, it's called.
Yeah.
Was it called All Day or Don't? I can't remember what the thing is called.
I thought it was like a disclosure non-agreement because we can't talk about this shoe.
It's the All Nights.
All Nights. There the Dark Nights.
The Lionel Richies.
Not quite. Not the shoe I need, but the one I deserve. But anyway, I liked it enough to buy it, and they are very comfy. I don't know if they're as revolutionary as my corporate overlords would want you to think, but if you can afford to pay the employee pricing for it, go ahead and help your boy out. Raise that stock price for us.
Hey, he got kids to feed. Help him out. Or kid to feed.
Hey, kid. Michael, you give me too much credit.
Anyway. Never know. I'm just speaking in your future. All right. So I guess I'll go next. My rockin' is the Reebok Court Victory Pump. Yeah, man. Yeah. I love this one.
The Michael Changs?
Michael Changs, man. And this one's the 35th anniversary. This particular color hasn't released just yet here in the States. It's released overseas, but it should be dropping on Reebok's site soon. So shout out to him for sending this one over. But my copping is going to actually take us back to another conversation we had a couple weeks ago when I had the Sweet Tooth Dunks. I looked at them. I couldn't do it. I was never going to wear them. The stupid coating on the outside, I hated it. So I brought them back and found this sitting at the Nike store, which is going to be the Valentine's Day SB Dunk. And to me, this is like head and shoulders better. So we did a little switcheroo, and this is what it came out with.
Yeah, that's a good looking shoe.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Because the candy corns or whatever are like almost like kind of shiny, right? Or something.
It has this weird like polyurethane coating to make it look like candy. And it just felt like it was never going to break in. So I was like, I'm not going to put this shoe on. I'm just going to go. I'm never going to wear it if I have it here. Switch them out for something that's nicer materials. And I can actually wear it with more than just an Astros jersey. So,
and I'm sure they taste better than candy corn as well with the polyurethane wrap on it.
What do you got, Robbie? I'll go. I rock the opening day today, baseball.
There it
Pulled
is.
Pull out the Giants colorway of the Griffey first Griffey shoe. Unfortunately, the Giants lost, but, you know.
It's 100 million games this season.
Yeah, 161 games to go, so I guess it's all right. This has been a long time coming, so finally got these in the mail. I guess they showed up last week, but not in time to show. Hit on that restock a while back. And I've been waiting to bust out this fitted because good old Joe in the Discord made the McEnroe fitted to go with it. So this has been a long time coming. So pretty stoked to finally have the Mac attacks, or the attacks, as we're calling them this time around.
Call it what it is. It's the Mac attack. They can't take history away from
looking like a little snack attack in them. I wore the Hurricane or nice. Kamikaze today. Still one of my favorites. It's one of the few high top basketball shoes, ankle support, if we will, in the Discord that I can actually comfortably wear all day and not feel like I'm wearing cardboard boxes, like an April Fool's joke Adidas shoe you might have seen online. It feels like that sometimes, though. These actually feel great. And I wanted to go last because I want my copping's one of the first collabs here, so I kind of wanted to segue into that. But also, Nick, those attacks, I was driving back from Seattle last weekend, and I told you guys I almost pulled the trigger on a pair of KD 16s for 70 bucks. They had one pair of attacks in that debut colorway for $100 at the outlet. And I was like, it wasn't on sale enough. I didn't do it. I was super close. I tried them on. I put them on my feet. And I was like, really? Damn, I like these.
Almost broke. Rowett almost lost it. That bet.
He's getting closer and closer.
Rowett got me the white and yellow pair for my birthday of attacks. So I already have a pair of attacks. And I've only probably worn those 1.5 times, probably like 3 hours total. So I don't need to buy a second pair of attacks. Though those look great. So I was almost tempted. I was tempted. I almost did it. But $100 was not cheap enough. If there were 75, I would have felt different.
For those of us that have early onset Alzheimer's, like me, possibly, what was the terms of this bet that I've made that I've already forgotten about?
You were betting on when Robbie would break his no buying pass. Sneakers.
Yes. And what did
I remember that. I can't remember. Somebody's going to have to tell us. Yeah.
Someone back and help us out. We're old.
I thought, did I say he was going to be the Iron Man and go the whole year without buying
you,
it?
You or? Might have, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I have faith in Robbie.
Man, so, and then I have Vitality Access through Kith, and they did a restock on their A6 stuff, like the gel Kyanos 14s and the 1260 or 11, whatever the fuck they're called. So many numbers with A6. But I almost pulled the trigger on those too, only because of the email alert and the early, you know, the access thing. It almost triggered my brain to say, ooh, I need to get these because I'm a part of a special group. I'm not. I didn't buy them. So there's going to be tempters in your life. Various things.
Laws, dog, when you hear certain things, you just got to do it. It was like, yeah. I almost got Robbie.
Be it shoes, food, drugs. There's going to be
not
triggers
today,
in your life.
Satan. Not today.
Do not get him today. He said,
you
got
to find a way to say no, man. Let's find
Can
a way
make
to say
that the
no.
episode title? Not today, Satan.
Yep.
December 8th was still the last time. So we are holding strong. And on the last baby tirade, I started organizing clothes today to donate. So many t-shirts. Like paralysis shock. Like I get stressed out seeing how many clothes I have. Listeners, let go of clothes. You probably have a trillion t-shirts too. I found 5 unopened Kith t-shirts, like in the plastic still.
What?
In the back, unworn, like unopened. And I was like, man, I have 5. Three. And then a PSG Versailles Complex Con. I'm going to wear that when I go to Paris one day. You know, this dumb shit back there I have never even opened. Nick, I know you're the master of this too. Let it go. If you're currently wearing stuff, let it go and maybe let rip open go. The stuff you already have. Listeners, it's not cool to have a trillion things, man. It's almost stressful when you look at it all. So
it is stressful.
That's like do a self-analysis, man.
Can we do a decluttering episode? I think it might help all of us.
What's that lady who does those shows to help like
Marie
organize?
Kondo?
Yeah, Marie like we need to get her on as a to help us out.
Yeah. So with that said, I'll kind of spearhead this collab conversation because a lot of these collabs have made me almost or have put serious thought into my brain because brands are really tapping in to cartoons in recent months, or you know, this coming season, the spring. So I'm like, damn, all these things are nostalgia biting. And what gets me, thank God they were sold out on Reebok.com, was the Hunter Hunter anime collab with Reebok. There's four pairs. There's like the Beatnik, the Club C. There is Instapump Fury.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. One of my favorite animes ever. I go to Reebok.com to buy them. Thank God they're all sold out. Like, not even just my size, they're all gone. So a character's name is gone too. But collabs, really good ones coming out, really good animes. The Hunter Hunter one, we can start with that. Not everybody's like probably favorite anime if you're not into anime. If you're not into it, but maybe old stuff, it's the same mangaka as Yu Yu Hakusho. So it's like the same wavelength. A lot of similarities there, but just another good Reebok collab, man. They're doing some good stuff, especially. Let's start this. Our collaboration is still fun for you. Before we go all the way in, are you into this kind of stuff, or you know, Hunter Hunter isn't for everybody? But our collab still fun. That's been a Discord on the internets recently. If they're just dead or not, like, do you still like collabs? Are collabs fun?
I mean, like, it depends on what it is, but like you say, now this has kind of been the season of cartoon and nostalgic type like collaborations. You throw a cartoon at me, you throw an anime at me, I'm gonna at least take a look at it. Like, there's no way I'm not gonna at least be a little interested. And Hunter x Hunter is not one I've actually watched, but with other things out there, I mean, from past anime collaborations with other brands, I mean, it's something that I'm into, but because I'm a big nerd, I think all four of us kind of in that same boat.
No, I mean, I was going to say this, if it's not even limited to anime, any collab that's tastefully done is always going to be fun, because if I like one thing, the only thing I like more is two things coming together to form one thing, like Voltron. And I'm sure there's a Voltron collab that if I knew about, I'd probably cop. And it's also one of those things that, to the point Robbie's making, where I don't think anything is played out. There may be certain genres being played out, but I do feel like we're in a little bit of an anime resurgence right now. So that's why I think they're striking while the iron is hot. But if Nike got me excited because of a pair of Warritos inspired dunks, I think anything is in play in terms of me turning into Fry from Futurama and saying, please take all my money. It just has to be tastefully done and has to appeal to me on some level.
Yeah. I mean, I think that collabs, you know, like, people always talk about it because people will look at like Supreme and be like, collabs are dead, or look at like, you know, Fragment and be like, collabs are dead. But like, those are evergreen collaborations with Nike, you know, like, they never stop. They might stop for a few months here and there, but like, it's always ongoing. I think that like Hunter x Hunter is like a good example, right? Like, I'm not familiar with that one. We're actually watching Spy X Family, which is pretty solid right now. And you know, like, I'll watch that next, right? But those Pump Furies are, I love the Pump Fury. It's kind of like what Rohit said, you put those two things together. Had I like maybe not just gotten laid off, I probably would have picked those up or tried to pick those up when they dropped, you know. But it's one of those things where, you know, I think the other part of that is like, it never has to be as, you know, like, people think that if a shoe doesn't sell out in like a day or a minute or whatever, that like a shoe is dead. But like, all these brands make money when these shoes sell at like 40% off retail, or sometimes even, you know, lower than that, right? Yep. So like, it's not a loss to them. It's only a loss if they spent a ton of marketing dollars for those collabs to happen. But in that case, like, if you think about it from like a, you know, the shoe brand is usually the bigger partner, right? Typically. And whoever that secondary partner is on the collaboration, like, if it's us collaborating with, you know, Nike, then all of a sudden our thousands of listeners get put in front of millions, or, you know, like, millions of people see our, you know, stuff versus the other way around. But like, for a brand like Nike, probably super important to be in our, in like, you know, not us necessarily, because we don't really trash talk a lot of people, but like, a lot of people Nike looks at and they want to be in their good graces because they're like the trending, you know, people, or they're like the talking heads of like the, you know, kind of culture right now. And
yeah,
you know, like, I just think it's always going to exist, and there's to me, there's never any reason for it to slow down, right? If it's a terrible story, it's a terrible story, whether it's one people or two people telling it.
Yep.
So One Piece is the next one I want to talk about, but Spy Family might be the next one up, so to speak. That's a really popular. I read and watch all of that too. It's adorable. So you bringing up how the shoe company is typically the biggest player of the two in the collab. In most cases, right. Nike's $1 billion, multi-billion dollar company. One Piece is the most selling comic of all time. It surpassed Superman by like a long shot, right? So that is, and not just that entity, but a lot of international entities have such big fan bases. Their online store can just sell merch at a clip of like a clothing supply company, right? Like Quicksilver. Yeah. Like One Piece can operate fan merch with like this t-shirts and hoodies, like Billabong, and just like keep it moving. So when they collab with Puma, they just did a 4-shoe collab. Yep. 4 shoes tend to be 2 or 4, right? There's either 1, 2, or 4. It's like a weird, sometimes 3. I guess my point makes no sense. But this is a 4-shoe collab. And in my opinion, greatly inferior to the Reebok stuff. As someone that reads both anime closely, the Puma stuff just looks like they put a One Piece logo on it, and that's totally okay. That tends to be either one of two routes we've discussed many times on the show. It's either, do you go for like a deep story, or do you just go for like a little logo and a wink and a nod, right?
Yeah.
They definitely went for a wink and a nod with the Puma stuff, while Reebok and Hunter definitely went more of a literal. So the Instapump Fury Nick brought up is based off a character named Hisoka, really flamboyant. The shoes are also that, right? Pretty aggressive. Yeah. All of the Puma stuff, regardless of character it's inspired by, are the same silhouette. I believe it's a
suede, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe it's a suede.
Yeah.
And they all just have this two-tone blocking. That's not a bad thing, but one compels me and one doesn't. So it can go one of two ways. It's very interesting to me.
Robbie, if I can ask you the question, what is the one that compels you, and why is it that it compels you?
Oh, I mean, it's the Reebok Hunter because it does more with the same amount of shoe, right? Let's just consider like the Club C to the suede, very similar shoes. One, if you know the characters intimately, not even intimately, even in passing, you could say like, oh, that's Killua, which is one of the Reeboks. The One Piece stuff, I know all of them like the back of my hand. And I'm like, huh, that's that character. I have to like stop and like think about it. Like the black one is a guy named Blackbeard. Really, really unique name, right? Like, right, you're gonna make the shoe black and have like little like squiggles on it, kind of like a beard, like
just on the nose there.
A little on the nose, yeah. So it can go one of two ways, right? And that's just that's kind of way it shakes up. So there's also kind of veering back to the Reebok stuff. Adidas Shell Toe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I probably should have butted this one in earlier with the TMNT talk. But Shell Toes, Shells, do I have to go further than that? Turtles, right? It's just like, you could be on the nose and be really, really cool.
Yeah.
So that one's also coming out here soon. And I believe there's one for each of the turtles. And it's just
it's only one.
Oh, it's only one.
It's only one, and it represents the original issues of Ninja Turtles because they didn't have different colors. They only wore red bandanas, so it gives you the initial design of the turtles. So it just has the red bandana or mask that they wore then.
And the back of the box has like a comic book panel on it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. And
the nod to like that makes sense. I don't know TMNT as well as Mike does, but yeah, I didn't know that's why they all had red. I thought maybe like the eyelets, like Dubray's, I mean. Switched out or something.
Just thought they were big Raphael fanboys.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's really cool.
One thing I thought was really interesting about the One Piece stuff, though, like, I don't know if I don't think this really happens very frequently, but they made a ton. To your point about the clothing, they made a ton of apparel for that collab. There was like, I feel like there was like 20 pieces of apparel for like 4 shoes or 30 pieces of apparel shoes or something.
Oh, but I mean, Reebok made the apparel too. It sells well. I mean,
yeah, it just seemed like they went really overboard with it with Puma, but a lot of it was sold out when I was looking at it. So
Maybe I mean, not only that, isn't one piece and part of to the success that Robbie mentioned, it's one of the longest running ones as well. Isn't it like 1,000 episodes and counting? And maybe that to be a true vision of this show. Yeah.
Nick, you brought up a really cool point, because even like, let's say you're not into shoes, and like these anime collabs and some of the other ones we're going to talk about here, the next one we'll bring up. You don't have to be into shoes. You have to go say, ooh, I like this and that. Right. So I like Puma, not even because you like Pumas. Let's say you just bought a pair of Pumas at Michael's, right? Michael's at the craft store. Fuck.
And Ross, Dress for Less, Dress for Success.
Marshalls. Thank you, Nick. I can't think of it. Marshalls, right? Like you have a pair of like Pumas from Marshalls, right? And like you're a gamer and you like anime. And you happen to be looking online and you see that there's a collab. You don't care about the shoe, but you go, ooh, a t-shirt I could wear with my existing shoes. Like I already have Puma shoes. I'm going to get a t-shirt to go with my shoes. Or I already have Reebok shoes. I'm going to get the Hunter sweatshirt. Right. I mean, and that stuff sells well. Kind of unlike a shoe we'll talk about later, but Travis Scott stuff, right? Or artist clothing. Yeah. Compared to the artist shoe, I know all of us here, if we have a chance to get the Travis 1 shoe or the Travis 1 t-shirt, probably go like the t-shirt means very little to us, right?
Less than little.
But on the flip, if you don't care about shoes and like the collab is what you're about, like you'll buy a t-shirt, you'll buy a t-shirt and the hoodie, and you'll sleep in the sweatpants. You'll get it three items, and it's like, the shoe means nothing. And it's a win for the brand. So interesting there. But the next one that does the same thing, huge fandoms, the PSG Air Max Plus. I'm going to pivot randomly out of anime, but it is the same kind of thing. If you're a PSG fan, you don't give a crap about what Air Max model it is, or if it's Nike or Adidas, right? If it says PSG on it, like,
yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you're into it. And I think they look really, really good. Personally, it's a great looking Air Max Plus, but fandoms, man, crazy. Do you like this Air Max Plus? I mean, have you guys seen it?
Yeah, it's the white and base one, right? With the I think I actually like this one better than the Barcelona one that Pata did with Nike.
I agree.
That's a bold statement.
I know. I think I do though. Sitting there looking at both of them, like, man, there's something about it. It just popped a little bit more. And I mean, PSG is just kind of this long running collaboration now because of their popularity being, you know, of course, connected with Jordan Brand and Nike. Because I think now if you go to Nike's website, there's a 312 low in like this kind of like cream and green color. Like, it's actually, I thought about buying it. It was on sale. I was like, man, this is a really just clean looking shoe. They really haven't put out anything that's been awful. Like, I haven't seen anything that's been terrible. And if you're a fan of PSG, and hey, you just, you know, score yourself a pair of really dope shoes because they make some pretty nice stuff.
And to me, this is kind of an under-tapped market when it comes to collabs, because more often than not, it always tends to be some form of media or some food item or something like that. But I think the success rate on the cross-athlete collabs has been fire for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, even something that may be considered corny like the LeBron Liverpool collection, that's been pretty astute as well. I mean, they've been able to tap into the right side of the mythology of both parties, and it doesn't feel like a cash grab. And even that white and gold tracksuit with the Liverpool bird on it, man, like I said, if LeBron James is involved and he's truly involved and he's not doing the two chains AR thing where it's like, here's two more for y'all, it feels genuine. It feels like people actually want to get it on the strength of the actual item itself and not necessarily the names behind it. And I think that's probably the highest compliment you can pay any sort of collab.
Yeah,
Soccer I agree. Does a great job of mixing fashion with that, like those like fashion and like the sport. They do a good job at putting them together to make it like a wearable item as opposed to just some like tank top or, you know, something like that. They really do a good job of everyday wear.
I think that's interesting. I think that's the most interesting thing about kind of the, I mean, even anime, right? Like, I think we've probably all watched for a decent amount of time off and on. But like the average person in America is probably not watching anime every as often as maybe we are. And there's still just a huge opportunity for that to grow. And then all these collabs can kind of be a part of that story on both sides. Same thing with soccer in the US, right? Like, it's still just, you know, like upward trajectory for the sport here. It just seems like there should just be more energy around both of these things, which makes sense that we're talking about it, that the brands are trying to do this kind of stuff. But it seems like sky's the limit for both of them, right? Like, I can't really, you know, to the, Robbie's original question, these are the perfect examples of how this type of thing can be beneficial for both sides of the collaboration.
Yeah. And like, to Mike's point, I feel the same way. They're not like, they're all good looking shoes. None of them are like, to put it in sports term, generational talent in terms of like the shoes. Right. But these PSG pluses, you know, on the right swoosh discount, I would be very tempted to break my packs if these were like $100.
No, because, I was going to ask. Go ahead, Robbie. Sorry.
No, it's just a really clean, like normally I'm like the reverse flip on the plus where it's white cages with dark. I like it. Rather have it dark with
flip it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But it's just such a clean looking white and navy shoe. You can't tell me if this wouldn't look good in the summertime or spring, regardless of what soccer team it is, or yeah, it just looks fucking good. So like I'm very tempted to like keep my eye on that.
And the point I was going to make, a bit of a tangent, is because this Seinfeld episode was fresh in my mind, Robbie, at this point, anytime you look at a shoe, I'm just going to ask you, is it sponge worthy? Because that's how we're going to approach this.
It could be sponge worthy. I have to get them back and really screen them.
I was going to say for like listeners who might have like, Robbie might have said that really quickly. He didn't say PG anything. There was no Paul George involved in any of that statement. It was PSG Max Plus, right?
Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah,
Max. Exactly.
Petty. But a clean shoe, it's just a clean shoe, man.
It is. It really is.
Definitely is.
So the definition of, to the kids, clean shoes, the Jahoun, Sambas, the collab that has pissed off so many old heads on the internet about how this is like this new design and it's so fire. But I mean, if it's clean and it's what the kids want.
First of all,
I don't like them personally. This is two of the most boring looking Sambas.
Well,
but like, go ahead, Mike.
I just, you heard what happened to them today, right? I think it was today or yesterday. I can't remember. So the title of the shoe is Made in Germany, right? And then I guess it came out that not quite made in Germany. So apparently, I think a percentage of the shoes actually made in Vietnam. So it was like everyone's like, John, you're a liar. But $250 for a Samba is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
There's no $200 inside that Samba, as far as I'm concerned.
I better have a roll of cash when I open that box, because I won't buy a Samba for more than like $60. And that's a stretch. Like, the material better be fresh off the cow, still mooing when I put it on, if that's the case.
And as an Indian, it better not be mooing, and it better not be a cow.
You know what? It better not. It better be something else, or you're going to Finroy, so, and he's going to fight
balls
you.
Balls in your court, Adidas. Who do you want to appease?
Now you're confused. You don't know what to do.
Yeah. I just think it's entertaining that so many people get all butthurt about this type of thing. Like, it doesn't really, I mean, not the kind of, it feels a little smoke and mirrors with the Made in Germany thing.
Yeah.
But that aside, I think it's weird that people get offended when like a company that like is a little bit fashion forward, edgy, a little bit outside of the sneakerhead world makes like a basic ass colorway as a collab. Like, that's what you should do if you're a fashion brand that's not into sneakers, because guess what happens? A bunch of people that never cared about a Samba are now like, oh, well, I've been buying this brand for 8 years. I'm going to buy my first Samba. Like, I get that it's like, it's super minimal effort. I get that it's super minimal effort. But
we'll keep this convo going, but I need to throw this next shoe in just because you said that. There's also the hidden NY A6 New York. So it's the same kind of thing. Like, they're not in the shoemaking thing, but hidden as such a strong brand identity, just throw your brand on there. And it's kind of just like the Sambas, just different.
I guess my only thing is that it's not about the collaboration itself. It's the fact that people, and like it's the perception, like you said, it's perception. Hey, I've been buying Jam for X amount of years. I've been, you know, buying something hidden in Y. It's like the best example I can give is the ASICS Joe Kind of 14 Jam. There's literally the same color shoe, one with Jam written on one shoe, one with nothing written on. It's just give me something a little different. Just a like, just try something. I don't know. It's just I'm trying to figure a way. My brain just can't justify that kind of stuff because it's boggling to me that people are like, oh, I don't like this one. I love that one. It's like the same dang shoe. Like, what are we doing here?
But that's why people down
and now he wants it.
I think that's why it works, right? And I would not do that, but I also pay attention to sneakers. So every normal classic colorway out there, I'm familiar with. And I would never make a shoe that's familiar to sneakerheads. Like, I would go and make something that's unique to sneakerheads. But like, if I'm Hidden New York is a great example, right? You know, that's basically an Instagram account that blew up, right? It's like the Tumblr guys back in the day that blew up and became, you know, like the throwing fits guys. Like they started on Tumblr, you know, it's fuck yeah menswear. Like that was, you know, his blog back in the day on Tumblr, and then turn it into a career with Complex and all these other companies throughout the years. That type of stuff is knowing that your audience doesn't fuck with sneakers and then having the opportunity to get a sneaker collab and being like, oh, all we got to do is do some basic shit to make sure that they actually fuck with it. Because think about it. If you're like a let's say a reserved, fashion forward thinking human being, right? You don't necessarily go too far off. Like most people that are fashionable are either way extreme and they want some totally chaotic stuff, or they want stuff that fits into a very like safe range of high fashion. So if they're like, hey, here's our fucking tie-dyed gelite, whatever, all their people are like, that's too crazy for me. And all the sneakerheads are like, why does this company get in a collab? So like if they do something that's a normal colorway, I'm not saying that I like it. I'm just saying I understand that, like,
you're right.
This is the reason these collaborations happen, and the reason why we continually get frustrated with them, because it's like, I forget who was talking about it in the Discord, but the Air Force Ones recently, right? Kaz has an all white Air Force One, Supreme's Air Force One all white. Like everybody's making all white, all black Air Force Ones. And like, yes, that's stupid, but at the same time, you're going to pick, I'm not buying an Air Force One, but if the right, if Robbie opens a store and gets a collab and he makes an all black Air Force One with a purple box logo on it, I'm going to buy it.
So to that, and no one will ever buy a forest green ASICS NYC, but if you put the hidden green, whatever, you know what, it's branded so well. It's just that shade of green that Hidden uses, right?
Yeah.
It's all it is. It's a white ASICS with Hidden NY green on it. So the same shoe in forest green or hunter green means nothing. But if you made it crazy, no one would buy it. But if you just make it the Hidden NY green, oh, that matches your fucking corny ass Hidden NY socks, then you could get a whole fit off on your Instagram or your Tumblr. It's just like, oh, boom. Like, it's appeasing the audience.
On the flip side, the reason why I love collabs still to this day is, on the flip side, you get a creative person like Jay Tips, who is not like a massively known person, but very niche in like the worlds that he's known. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going crazy with this shit. And then he gets to do it. And like that, nobody else is going to get to do that. Nobody at Saucony is going to make like a crazy ass colorway. But if you bring in those like creative people that are like in on the other side of the spectrum, it brings a little bit of balance to the approach for some of these brands, in my opinion.
No, hey, like I say, it makes perfect sense. I'm yelling at the clouds right now. That's pretty much what's happening. I mean,
yeah, but it's a necessary evil, though. I get that you have to kind of show the proof of concept, which is, to Robbie's point, a white Air Force One with the hidden green. And then because that sells, then you can get a little more creative with the next one and the next one. And then you're telling the story. You're establishing your legacy. You're doing all the things that they tell you in business school you need to do to truly stick with people. So I get it, but I'm not happy with it. And the best comparison I can make is I like superhero movies. I think Mike agrees with me on this point. If I have to see one more time Uncle Ben getting popped into Bobo, I'm going to break the TV.
You know he's dying. So
you know what would be great? If he survived. That would be great.
This is what, so I'm understanding this now. And, you know, okay, you say take some time. You can get some, you know, you start getting crazy with your colors. This is the craziest John's gotten because there's a yellow sock liner. So they just lost their damn minds and put some color on there. Okay.
Or you do what Mama Meunier does, and it's literally the exact same thing
all over burgundy and all over the time.
And over. I mean, it's not this. That's what's funny. It is all burgundy, but it's also, they're not all burgundy. Some of them are like cream and burgundy. Some are just like gray with a little bit of burgundy. Some are black. It's just like, it's right. I mean, then we have to have a conversation of like, brand recognition and how strong is your brand look, you know, your like your core tenets of your style, which to that the Amma Meunier stuff is what James wants. It's his look. It's like, it's what it's supposed to be. But it's,
unfortunately it's memorable for the brand too, right? Like we were talking about, I was talking to somebody about sneakers and stuff collaborations earlier this week, and you know, they've done a ton of amazing collabs through the years, but they've only done a handful of like consistent colorways over the years, right? Where like, oh, they go back to a story that they've told and they redo it with a new shoe or a new whatever, or flip it and kind of reverse it or whatever. I think that's an interesting thing. Like, which way would you guys go if you have your boutique right now and you're given the opportunity to do a collab, how do you approach it? Because the Amma Meunier stuff is pretty boring in terms of like, you know, pushing the colors around, but like it's memorable. And then on the flip side of that, you know, that's part of what makes the brand, you know, like recognizable to the people that are not necessarily the sneaker diehards, you know. I don't know, like, because I personally like the like really nuanced stories, right? I'd rather see a crazy, you know, not even a crazy colorway, but a very deep story of like, oh, I did this, that, and the other in this year, and this is why I'm doing this again, because this is the color palette that I remember from that time or that I'm bringing back from that experience. And that's what gets me really interested in a collaboration typically. Well, then I also realized like most of the people that do that kind of stuff don't have the same story with another brand. So if they do an ASICS collab this year and then they do an Adidas collab 2 years from now, there's no connectivity between those two collabs. So like, if you're not a diehard sneakerhead, you might not even know who's behind it, right? It's like, I don't know.
Well, I think Kith's always done a good job with their collaborations. I know they kind of rewash some of them, rinse and repeat. But overall, if you look at his total body of work, it's a lot of different things. He uses colors, but he uses them the right way. It doesn't have to be over the top, like bright in your face. He used like bright colors, but on materials that kind of mute them. Like you look at, Salmon Toes. Like that salmon's a really bright color, but it mutes it on that suede. So that way you're getting that pop, but at the same time, it's in the kind of a, it's not a way to turn off a casual buyer. Like someone who just likes Kith. You know, they may not care about sneakers, but they like the clothes. I'm like, oh, okay, that looks nice with the crew neck I'm going to buy or that. So I like his approach, Ronnie's approach to that, because it really, with each different brand he's worked with, he's found a way to give you something that can be worn in most casual situations, I should say, while letting you know, hey, this is a collaboration. Like I like the way he's approached it. While on the flip side, you got like people like Concepts who do a lot of wild stuff, but you can still know it's a concept shoe. So really, I guess is dealer's choice and what you're trying to sell. What is your brand? Like, what are you trying to portray to your audience?
Ultimately, I think it does come back to that. Everybody knows what their core competencies are, what their strengths are, and they're smarter to play to them. Now, to answer your question, Nick, on that hypothetical, I would be of the opinion that give me an obscure model like my beloved Airjet Flight Max and let me bring that shoe back to relevancy. Mm-hmm. Because then, selfishly, I finally get another retro of a shoe that I've always wanted, and it's been done on my own terms. And conversely, if it hits and the collab is a success, then that means more of that shoe and, more importantly, more opportunities for me to revive other dormant silhouettes of shoes.
And I think that's like the ideal situation, right? And that makes me think of like Supreme. I forget what year they did the they got their own SB silhouette, a whole silhouette designed by Supreme in a, you know, a handful of colorways. Nobody else made the shoe. I can't remember what it was called off the top of my head, but anyway, like that is like, I think the bigger the brand gets, the more a healthier mix of both those approaches, right? You brought up concepts. Like, they do wild, crazy things, but they've also done lobster dunks 16,000 times or whatever it's been now, you know? And I love that shoe. I don't mean that in like a bad way. Like, I think it's super dope. They finally made an orange one. They made a purple one. It's like, this is like kind of what I would do. Robbie was talking about like that, you know, as when we got started in this kind of conversation, it made me think of like, you know, like Jeff Staple, right? With all the Staple colorways, there was always that kind of pigeon underlying theme. And then like through the years, like that was fairly consistent, but he still had a few things that he did, navigation pack with Nike back in the day. And then he got to like this panda story that was like the panda pigeons or whatever.
Yeah.
Or reverse. I don't know if that was a reverse or whatever. But like, anyway, like I would argue that by sticking to those colors, even someone like him, who is, you know, maybe not as risky in terms of like the colorways and stuff, like that still kept him relevant in all of these collaborations that he's done throughout the years, in my opinion. Yeah. But I don't know, like it's really interesting because there's so many different approaches to it. You know, like I feel like it's getting harder and harder for people to like kind of carve their own path when it comes to collaborations.
Yeah. I mean, I just saw a photo of Cooper Flagg and Paolo Banchero presenting the Gatorade National Player of the Year, and he's wearing the orange concepts. And I saw someone else in a photo recently wearing the green ones. And it is kind of played out. You can say, oh, they've done them 16 times, and you're 1,000% right. But when a motif or a brand identity or a brand concept, a project concept, however you like, I guess in this case, it is a project concept of concepts. If it's so good, fuck it. Make it like piss green. It's still good. Like seeing Paolo win them, I was like, damn, those orange ones look good. Saw them in green the week before. Damn, those green ones look good. The blue, purple, like all of them look good. Like it's hard to beat that. I wish they weren't so expensive, but they look so good. That's why they're so expensive.
Yeah.
But I'm happy we kind of came around to concepts because I literally had this thought internally. I'm like, that's kind of played, but like I would keep playing it because it looks really
play
good.
Play again. Do it again.
Do it again. Yeah, it's like, can you smoke too much crack? You die eventually, but yes. Like until you do, like, give me more. And then we can end on like there's brands like Stussy, right, who can work with any brand, have any kind of motif. They're kind of more of a design, right? Like the Stussy, like the, you know, the not the jester hat, or what'd you call it, a jester hat? You know, like little,
yeah, the little, yeah,
the 3.0 like hat, oh, or this, the crown, the way Stussy's written, the eight ball. Yeah. There's this like visual small motifs that you can put onto any shoe, like Converse keeps doing. They've done a trillion Converse collabs the past couple of years, and it's all on like the same three shoes, but they all look different because there's so many different little like.
Like same way, like
Nike could pull like a BSR patch or put a retro swoosh or put like an air, you know, Stussy can do the same thing. They have so many different versions of their logo and it can be different and the same over and over again.
Yep.
I mean, I think a recent collaboration I really liked was the, was it the Undefeated? I looked at your hat just now, Robbie, the Undefeated. Was it the, oh God, I can't remember.
Terra Nera.
Thank you. Those were amazing. Like all four of them just
also were, almost made me buy those shoes too.
Oh, you know what's crazy? The first two colors were, you know, sitting for a while. I don't know who decided to put them on and make them just impossible to get, but they were sitting for a bit and then they skyrocketed in price. The next two colors came out, sold out immediately. I just want a pair. I don't even care who,
bro, know. I want them on sale because
I love them on sale.
How many? I mean, I've bought. I think I have five pairs of the Undefeated Air Force Ones from like a year and a half ago. So they kept finding them on sale.
The multicolor ones?
Yeah, I mean, they made a ton of them.
There's only three pairs.
No, there are not. The Air Force Ones?
Yeah, there's only three of them.
I can go pull out five of them right now.
You get five from a good guy? I didn't know they made that many.
There's a couple, but what I'm getting to is I kept finding them on sale. So I was like, ooh, I like these a lot.
Yeah.
the brand, right? It's ooh, so strong.
Ooh, piece of candy.
I'm going to give it again. But the Terra Humera, I really want those too. And I see people rocking them, like, damn, that's a good looking shoe. Good but it's not shoe. $160 good looking. Like, it's not.
No, it is, not though. At all.
If I didn't have 100 other shoes, it would be 160 good looking. Yeah. But the fact that I have multiple Air Maxes that are just like dead stock in my closet, like, I don't need to add to that pile.
Start wearing those before they fall apart.
All right, they're all, so I know that, right?
I 100% agree. But all those shoes are back up on the Undefeated site. So there is a possibility they're going to go on sale.
No, I'm waiting. And if they go down, when they go on sale, when.
Shall. Are they up there right now?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not buying it right now.
At least a couple of them. Full price. But
oh no,
Mason starts. I mean, Mason starts circling like a shark.
Yeah,
exactly. Just every day checking the whips.
All right, so we started out with Vanilla Ice, and I was saying how he had two color, one red shoe, one black shoe. I think it's the Air Force 5. It's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to have to look it up, or somebody's going to have to let me know in the comments somewhere. But the Anthony Edwards McDonald's High School All-American. Yes.
Let's end on that one.
What do you guys
talk
think
about him every episode? So
Anthony Edwards podcast.
We have to hit our quota.
Yeah.
They're crazy though. Go ahead. They're great looking.
Yeah.
It's a buy. If I could find them.
You're not going to find them. That's the thing. Like yeah, this shoe's literally selling out like hotcakes right now. And every freaking color. It's not even like, oh, the initial color. Everyone is just selling out. And this one, because it's the double color, the McDonald's, good luck.
So you know that guy, or you've heard about that guy who eats a Big Mac every day for the last like 50 years. You know what I'm talking about? Listeners, gentlemen here, you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea, actually.
He's one of many individuals who are so McDonald's addicted, they eat a Big Mac every day. Do people like that buy McDonald's All-American game swag and pull up into McDonald's, like warm-ups on, ready to go? Like, give me my two Big Macs, Becky. You know the order.
Okay. I feel like those people are a bit shamed that they do that. So they're not going to wear the paraphernalia out and about. Like, you're not going to catch them in
this guy's been on many articles. Look up the guy who eats Big Macs every day. You'll find a trillion articles. He'll talk about himself. Trust. He is not ashamed of his
McDonald's. No shame in his game.
Does he come up into the restaurant wearing the Anthony Edwards or, you know, and pass the Dwight Howard shoe, whatever one it might be that year?
I mean, they better send it to him for free.
Was there a TS Commander bounce at McDonald's All-American game?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Who knows?
But they need to send this man a free shoes and free workout gear to help him out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Commander was Dwight Howard and the Creator was Billups, right? I don't know.
I can't. Anywho. Yeah. Creator was Billups. Yeah. Commander was Dwight Howard. I can't remember if there was a McDonald's All-American because there was like Reebok had the All-American.
They did have a McDonald's that the RBK for a while. Hot minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the one thing about that Anthony Edwards shoe, and I probably would say this about any mismatched pair, I personally would never wear two. Like, it's the only pair of shoes that I have that are two different colors are the De'Aaron Fox Swipa Air Max ones. It's the only shoe that I have that I wear that's like two different colors. If I had the option to buy two pairs and have them swap so I could get an all blue and an all red of the Anthony Edwards, 100% I'm in. So why don't brands ever do that?
You're banking on too many people. Not enough.
But if
people
they cut
like
down
you.
Production, then it becomes more limited. Then it's like sells out. Like it's even harder to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel
right.
like it's like,
sense.
I feel like I'm not the only one that would do that.
I'm not mad about it. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm all for it. Sorry, I was scrolling. I found all four of those pairs and they all have them in my size. I just had to put my phone away. I can't do it. I refuse. I cannot give Undefeated $200 after tax and shipping. No, thank you.
This is why like those Discord community calls end up being so expensive for people, because we talk about all this stuff on the call for like 6 hours, and then it's like I feel like
for shoes.
Yeah. It's,
look, Nick, I'm banking on you. When you take your trip, just shoot us a text message when you find stuff like a third of the price. I'll Venmo the hell out of you. Like, right. Come on. Bring right.
Yeah. Yep. I know. I've been like planning out how to downsize. Like I'll deconstruct the box, flatten it, put the shoes in. So
mail the boxes back flat, just like a UPS envelope. Oh man, you're gonna come back with so much crap.
I hope not, man. I hope not. What was it? Was there anything else? You mentioned the Jumpman Jack. I don't know that we really even need to talk about it. To be honest, everybody knows that shoe. It looks
that good. It's okay, but I've seen it looks generic.
It's definitely generic. I'm just kind of tired of the backwards swoosh thing. I'm ready for it to just be like regular swoosh again.
Let it go.
There we go. Sing it again.
All right, y'all. I think I'm going to circle back to the question around like how you would approach your collaborations. If you own a store or a boutique or a brand or a company that gets the opportunity to collaborate with one of these sneaker brands to make sneakers, are you going like the wild and crazy storytelling side, or are you going more safe brand colors and sticking with like your tried and true colors that you have as a part of your brand? Let us know in the comments, wherever you're listening and watching, or in the Discord. Guys, you got anything else you need to let any, got anything going on? Mike's got a review up on his YouTube channel with those Reeboks he showed off.
I'm just out here working. That's all I'm doing. So y'all just go ahead and push a little thumbs up on those videos and these videos, and just everything we do, just go ahead and hit a like, and that will make me and everybody here happy, I think.
I'm still trying to think. I'm probably gonna do a black fucking shoe. I'm like how purple. I think about what color shoe my collab would be like. My shoe would be. I'm just like, in basic terms, if he has like a yellow shoe or a purple shoe, I'm like, that's all stupid. Like red, stupid. Like,
look, we know you're doing activity. You putting a black shoe on. You doing hood stuff. All right,
just black, not flat black.
It's matte black. That's how black it is. It's like talking Vansa black. You can't even see it.
We'll do it Kith Battleship, where it's like rusted sea black. You know,
that could work.
I just want to give my 2 cents.
Hey, I ain't mad at it.
I mean, I think Robbie would end up doing some like kind of low key Lakers colors, but like
muted.
There's not enough like black based Lakers shoes, in my opinion.
Kobe 8 coming back.
Yeah, Kobe. Yeah, there's gonna be plenty of Kobe's you can't buy coming out that you can.
You can look at them, but you can't touch them.
Right? Yep. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for rocking with us. You can find links to all of us individuals in the description wherever you watch this. We appreciate y'all. We'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.